You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. And Brittany, just about 3 weeks, I guess, until you head down to Florida. Pitchers and catchers going to be reporting before we know it. For this podcast, we're going to get a little bit into some of the Orioles prospects, but they also do have some have made some news over the last week. And I want to start with a move they made on Tuesday. They got Efren Navarro from the Angels for cash consideration. He's a guy that split time last year between AAA and the majors. Hit really well in the minors if you look at the numbers, not as well up in the big leagues. But they also designated LJ Hose for assignment to make room on the 40-man roster. What do the Orioles want to get from Navarro?
Well, I think he adds depth at the position. He's played a lot of first base, also some left field and a little bit of right field in the major leagues. But he's a left-handed hitter, which is very important to the Orioles. They really want to try and add a little bit depth, particularly on that left-handed hitting side. So they were attracted to the fact that he plays a good defensive first base. And again, then he can hit left-handed. So he's going to be in the mix a little bit, probably for a backup spot, for a bench spot here in spring training.
What exactly does this mean for LJ Hose? Are they hoping they can hold on to him and send him down to the minors?
Well, yeah, I think that's always kind of the hope. You can keep as many of these players as you possibly can. But you know, at the end of the day, they just thought that Navarro was a little bit more of an upgrade over Hose. And Hose has been with the Orioles organization before. He's a well-liked guy. He's a really good, solid guy. So it would be certainly behoove the Orioles to have a guy like that stay in their system. So right now they got to wait and see if he gets claimed somewhere else. They've got that window now where they can trade him or release him. He's been designated for assignment. So you should find out probably within the next few days kind of the fate of LJ Hose.
Things have kind of settled a bit now since the big signing of Chris Davis, something that went on and will always be, I think, the story of this offseason. But in the end, the Orioles get their guy. Davis has now gotten a chance to talk to the media and all that. Talk about that and what your impressions are now over a week since Chris Davis officially returned to the Orioles.
Yeah, he was his usual gregarious self at the press conference on Thursday night. He put the uniform on and kind of goes, oh, this shirt looks familiar. And he seemed very excited to be in Baltimore, to be staying in Baltimore. Him and his agent Scott Boras were there. Didn't comment on any other offers from any other teams specifically, which I think probably lends credence to the fact that the Orioles were far and away the highest bidder, probably maybe even so the only bidder for his services. But at the end of the day, the Orioles really wanted to get this deal done. And I think Chris Davis, he said that, it was really tough and really stressful. This was his first time being a free agent. And I think he's looking forward to not having to do this again, to not have to worry. And, he was asked about all the pressure that comes with such a record deal. And he said he hopes there is pressure. He welcomes it. And he hopes that having that kind of a price tag attached to him, that it motivates him to go out there and be a leader and be a better player and be more consistent. So it was certainly, I agree with you, no matter what they do, it's going to be their entire offseason. And it's going to be a really interesting contract as it plays out over the course of his career. It's going to be 30 in March. But this is going to be a big, big deal for the Orioles. Financially, the way they were able to structure it, it doesn't cripple them because a lot of that money is backloaded. But when you look at this, this was what Dan Duquette wanted to do. This was their primary focus. Right now they need to add a pitcher. But Chris Davis was kind of made for Camden Yards, and it was something they talked about a lot at their press conference. Having Chris Davis, now having Mark Trumbo and Matt Wieters return, having some of these bats, Manny Machado in the lineup, they're going to score a lot of runs. And I think that's really the emphasis on the powerful lineup because they haven't gotten a pitcher. But adding Chris Davis certainly makes them a very, very scary middle of the order.
You mentioned that they haven't added a pitcher, and obviously there's still a little time to do that. And you think back a couple of years ago, they didn't sign Ubaldo Jimenez until into spring training. So who knows when they could bring in an arm. And we've talked a lot about Hunter Harvey and Dylan Bundy, but there's other young pitchers that this team will likely have to lean on at some point during the season. I wanted to get into a couple of those prospects that are maybe not your top-end prospects, but they're guys that are ready for the major leagues and should be contributors at some point in 2016. So one of those guys is Mike Wright. He spent some time up in the major leagues in 2015. He went 3-5, a 6.04 ERA, and really he just held on to his rookie status, 44 innings pitched, and you lose that when you get up to 50 innings. Are those numbers fair, or did Mike Wright at times pitch a lot better than those numbers that he put it up?
Well, when he came up, Tim, I mean, he was fantastic. And you see that a lot with rookies. They come up and they take a lot of guys by surprise. There's not as much tape on them, things like that. And then he had a period where he really struggled. And I think when you look overall at Mike Wright, no one's really sure what his capability is going to be in the major leagues just yet. I mean, there are scouts who swear up and down that he can be a rotation guy. And then there are people who think that he'd be much better suited for the bullpen. And when you look at him and look at his arm, he does have the advantage of being a tall guy, having a really good ankle, being tough to hit in that regard. But I think what the Orioles are going to do with him, at least in spring training, is have him compete for a rotation spot because they need all the starters they can get right now. And a guy like Mike Wright is only going to benefit from that time he was up in the major leagues. And he had some really rough outings. But I think more what you take from that season, from his rookie season, is kind of the mental approach. And he was really good at after bad outings, standing at his locker and saying, I need to do better. I need to make adjustments, in-game adjustments on the fly. And that's really the biggest difference, he said, from AAA to the major leagues, is guys make adjustments after one at bat. You make adjustments after one time through the order, and you really got to be able to adjust and to step up. And I think Mike Wright is a smart guy. I think he's a guy who wants to learn, and I hope that he takes a step forward because when you look at him and all that talent, and the Orioles have so many pitching prospects who haven't been able to pan out, they really need guys like Mike Wright to be what they thought they were going to be.
If they don't bring in another starting pitcher between now and spring training, he's kind of the leading candidate for that number five spot, isn't he?
Yeah, I would think him, Tyler Wilson, is another candidate. But, yeah, it's going to have to come from somewhere in AAA if they don't sign a starter, and certainly he's very high on the radar.
And you mentioned Tyler Wilson, perfect transition. Now, Mike Wright is a 26-year-old guy, so older as far as prospects go. Tyler Wilson, same story, 26 years old. I know he was a college arm. Great find, really, for the Orioles. 10th-round draft pick in 2011. He was the 305th overall pick. And now you have a guy who maybe finds a spot at the back end of a rotation. That's some good work by the scouting department. What are the Orioles like about Tyler Wilson now that he's on the cusp of the major leagues?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because, as you mentioned, he wasn't a highly touted guy. He's not a guy who you watch pitch and you're like, oh, this guy's got it. He should be in the major leagues. In fact, he really didn't get on the organization's radar for a few years. But the key is he kept winning. You look at his minor league win-loss record, and he won at every level he was at. And that's something that's really important to manager Buck Showalter. He's a guy who goes out there and competes, no matter if the guy opposite him on the mound has better stuff than him, which more often than not is the case. I mean, Tyler Wilson pitches smart. He pitches to contact. He doesn't throw a lot of balls. He knows when to use certain pitches. He's very, very smart, very composed on the mound. And I think that was what was really important in the short stints that they saw him and the spot starts he made coming up last season is he really didn't seem too fazed by everything. And that was important. He was able to give them some quality outings when they really badly needed it because this rotation struggled all last season really to step up to at least go six innings. And Tyler Wilson, like Mike Wright, had a fair amount of success. And I think he's the guy who's going to build on some of those lessons, like I mentioned, Mike Wright. I think both of these guys know that this is a whole nother level than AAA, but Tyler Wilson has been quite a success story. I think it's important for the organization because you look at some of these guys in low A or double A and they can point to Tyler Wilson and say, look, this was a guy nobody expected to get to the major leagues. This was a guy that a lot of scouts still watch and doubt. And he's pitching and he's pitching well and he has a chance to start on this team's opening day roster. So certainly a really good feel-good story for the Orioles.
If Mike Wright and Tyler Wilson do battle it out for that fifth starter role, whoever misses out, does he find himself back in AAA, or do they move that arm to the bullpen right away?
I would say it depends on who it is. I think that Mike Wright's much better suited for the bullpen, but I think initially the Orioles are going to want as many starters as possible. And especially if they don't go out and get anyone, Tim, they're going to need these guys. We all know it takes much more than a starting five to get through a baseball season. So I think the smart move is probably to stash a guy at AAA. They've got a lot of bullpen options right now. That bullpen is projected to be a strength. And don't forget Dylan Bundy, who we've talked about a lot. One of their top pitching prospects is a guy who's out of options. So he's pretty much assured a bullpen spot if he's healthy, because the Orioles don't want to risk losing him. So I think that they're going to be a little hesitant to stash guys in that bullpen like they've been able to do years past with maybe a Rule 5 pick or two. I think they're going to err on the cautious side and keep those guys starting at AAA.
Great stuff as always, Brittany. This has been the MLB.com Extras podcast, our Orioles edition. Join us again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.